Hi, Shelley Hancock here, and thanks so much for taking the time to listen to The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics, Volume 3, Leaping into Aesthetic Success. September 15th, 2018 marked 30 years from the day I clocked my final hours at Zenzi's Aesthetic School in San Francisco, California. I can still recall the sense of accomplishment and pride I felt for finishing my training and the feeling of excitement about my future as a licensed esthetician. On that day, I never imagined that my aesthetic career would take me on the incredible journey I've been on, and I don't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. I can honestly tell you that I'm as passionate about this industry today as I was back in 1988. No, let me take that back. I think I'm even more passionate today about it. The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics audiobook, Leaping into Aesthetic Success, is about my journey. Why do I feel it's so important to share my journey with you? Well, I want you to know that there is a big old aesthetic world out there to conquer. There are so many avenues to take in this industry, and this industry is ever changing. Opportunities are abundant. Take advantage of that and carve out your path to aesthetic success. You'll notice as you begin to listen to me that I teach by telling stories. Some of them, I hope, will make you laugh a little, and others, I hope, will get you thinking about your aesthetic path and also about your life. I'd like to help you have a clear vision of the possibilities that may be waiting for you. My wish is that my stories inspire you to push through any fears that you have and take a leap of faith so that you too can experience the joy of a successful aesthetic career. I'm hoping that by listening to me, you find the courage to jump when opportunity knocks, and I hope to inspire you to let the excitement of what the future can bring be much bigger than the fear of the moment. My wish is that by the time I finish sharing my adventures, you will be ready to take a leap of faith in your aesthetic career. With much love, I bring you Leaping into Aesthetic Success. Chapter 1, The Beginning. The year was 1987. I was 27 years old and working at Cost Plus Imports in a cubicle doing computer work. This job gave me no pleasure whatsoever. I don't recall exactly how long I worked there, but I do still remember the feeling of being young and vibrant and working alone in a cubicle day after day after day. The money was quite good for a 27-year-old, but I did not enjoy it one bit. I felt closed in and, quite frankly, bored. I recall sitting there in that little cubicle thinking that there had to be more to life than this. I just knew that this could not be my future. I grabbed a newspaper on my way home one night and decided to check out the employment ads. At this point in my life, I did not have a wide variety of skills. You see, I spent my younger years as a professional dancer. It's actually a miracle that I got the job at Cost Plus Imports because I certainly did not have any accounting skills. I believe I got that job because of the way I presented myself in the interview. Confident. I presented myself to the interviewer with a confidence that I would be able to learn anything that they threw at me. I presented myself as a hard worker and dependable. Who wouldn't hire that type of person, right? Lesson. Be very aware of the way you're presenting yourself in an interview. Sit up tall and speak with a strong voice. Even if you have little to no experience, present yourself as if you do. Your presentation will make up for the lack of experience. Present yourself as valuable, and you will be perceived as valuable. So that night, I searched the newspaper for jobs that sounded interesting, and there it was. Macy's Clinique Cosmetic Counter was looking for sales associates. Now that sounds interesting. No cubicle. There'd be interaction with people. Yeah, I like the sound of this. I called for an interview, went to the interview, got the job. Now here's the interesting thing. I had absolutely no sales background, and I couldn't apply makeup for the life of me. But I got the job. Why? Say it with me. Confidence. I was honest about the fact that I had no experience, but I presented myself in a way that showed that I was someone that was trainable. My demeanor showed that once trained, they would have a valuable employee on their hands, and I proved them right. My third month there, I won the award for the highest sales in the department. Not just the Clinique counter, the whole cosmetic department. Now, how did I do that with no sales experience? Well, I listened to the client in front of me. Instead of just trying to make the sale, I listened to what that client was saying to me, what she needed, how she was feeling. I was creating a relationship, not just trying to make the sale. And because of this, I began to get repeat clients. They would come back to the counter and specifically ask for me. They did this because they trusted me. I was making connections, not just sales. Lesson: sometimes people with little to no experience are more attractive to hire because they haven't developed any bad habits yet. You can train them, not have to retrain them. This is something I kept in mind years later when I began hiring for my first skincare center. So I worked at Macy's about 6 months. I did well, but it really wasn't my thing. There was a lot of pressure to sell. I was one of their top salespeople, but I didn't care for that pressure. Also, there was quite a bit of standing around behind the counter time, and I am not a standing around kind of gal. I much prefer being busy. So I heard about a job opening up at a dermatology office in San Francisco doing computer work. Didn't want to really go back to computer work, but a dermatology office was a different atmosphere, and it sounded pretty interesting. I called for an interview, went to the interview, got the job. Are you seeing a pattern here? Again, no experience, but I got the job. Lesson: let me say that when I'm speaking of presenting yourself as confident, I'm not talking about being cocky or overconfident. There's no ego or arrogance in your demeanor. It's actually more like being humble. Let them know that if they hire you, you won't let them down. Does this make sense? Okay, the cosmetic counter was an introduction into the world of beauty, but this computer job at the dermatology office is where my aesthetic career really began. 3 days into the job, the doc taps me on my shoulder and tells me that what he really needs is a back office assistant, and would I be interested in training for that position? Doing that kind of job never entered my mind. I didn't know a thing about dermatology, but I did know that there was an MD after his name, which had to mean that there were needles going to be involved somehow. You see, I was one of those kids that hid in the corner of the doctor's office screaming bloody murder when they had to give me a shot. Oh, my poor mom. I know she was always so embarrassed. But you know, I was really ready for something completely different in my life, so it only took me a split second to say yes. That night after work, I went shopping for white pants and white shoes so I could start my new position looking official. The next morning when I came into the office, they gave me a white lab coat, and boy, I looked like I knew what I was doing. I was told to go back to treatment room number 3 to observe the procedure in progress. Cool, all I have to do today is observe. Easy, I can handle that. So I saunter on back to treatment room number 3, feeling rather confident, and I open the door to a liposuction on a woman's stomach. She's laid back on the table with tubes coming out of her stomach. I could see the fat going through the tubes. The room starts to spin, and I'm sure I've just turned 3 shades of green. Someone, I'm not even sure who it was, escorts me out of the room before I hit the floor. I'm out in the hall, bent over, catching my breath and thinking, seriously? Seriously, a liposuction on my first day? Couldn't you have started with a mole removal or a pimple popping? Not a liposuction on my first day. It took a few days to recover from that experience, but I really began to enjoy this new job. And yes, I did see mole removals and pimple popping and sclerotherapy and much, much more. One very high-tech procedure we did was cutting the middle of a man's scalp out to bring his hairline together. Oh yeah, this dermatologist was cutting edge. This was in 1988, and it was unheard of back then to perform these types of procedures right in the office. I truly received on-the-job education. Here's another experience that I can guarantee will make you giggle. I had only been there about 3 weeks when we were going to do a laser wart removal on a male client. Back then, the lasers were huge and loud and had big suction tubes to suck up the fumes coming out of them. They were definitely clumsy-looking pieces of equipment. My job as the back office assistant was to hold the suction tube close to the area being treated. That's all I had to do, just hold the tube close to the area being treated. No big deal. Oh, I didn't mention that the area being treated was this fella's private parts. So I put on my best, I've done this a million times face, but between you and me, inside, I was a little bit freaking out. But I'm a professional, right? So this patient would never have guessed how I was really feeling. The doc begins the procedure. I'm holding the tube close to the area being treated. Remember, I'm a little nervous. My hand is shaking, and within 10 seconds, I suck this poor guy right up inside the tube. The doctor has to turn the laser off to let his private parts go. Instead of turning 3 shades of green like the first traumatic experience, I am sure that I am 3 shades of red this time, and unlike that first experience, I can't leave the room. I have to stay there to finish the procedure. Oh, and listen to this. The doc doesn't miss a beat. As he turns the laser off, he looks at this guy and he says, "Hey, we are not even going to charge you extra for that one today." Boy, every time I tell that story, I physically feel like I'm back in that treatment room. That was an experience that I will never, ever forget. And I'm guessing that that fella has never, ever forgotten me either. So while I'm working at that dermatology office, I'm noticing this one employee that has her own treatment room. And when she comes out of it with a patient, they hug her and thank her and tell her that they can't wait to see her again next month. I watched this go on for a few weeks, but I'm knee-deep in learning to be a great back office assistant, so I'm not really paying too much attention, but one day I just had to ask. So who is this gal? What is it that she's doing to these patients, and how do I get that job? Seemed like everyone loved her. That's the first time I hear the word esthetician. I was told that she was doing acne and anti-aging facials on patients. This was unheard of back in the 80s. This dermatologist, once again, is very cutting edge. After learning a bit more about what an esthetician is, I decided that I really wanted a job like that. So I quit, and I went to aesthetic school to get my license. I went full-time, 8 hours a day, and graduated in 4 months. Shortly after that, I passed my California State Board test, and I officially became a licensed esthetician. I knew that I wanted to work in a medical office, so I started making phone calls and sending resumes out to local dermatologists. At this point, my resume was very short, but it didn't take very long before I got an interview. And I'm betting you can guess the outcome of that interview. Chapter 2, My First Aesthetic Jobs. I received a response pretty quickly from the resumes I sent out. The call came from a dermatologist in town. I went for the interview, and I got the job. No shock, right? He knew nothing about estheticians and facials, though, so I got the job as his back office assistant. Well, something felt off during the interview. But I wanted a job so bad that I pushed that gut feeling aside. I was just happy to get a yes, you're hired response. Lesson: always trust your gut. If you're in an interview and something feels off, it is off. There are other jobs out there. Listen to your gut. I don't recall there being any other employees there. Maybe a receptionist, but no one else. That was a red flag that I should have noticed. The first week there, he took me to lunch. That in itself didn't raise any flags, but while we were at lunch, he looked at me and said, "We'll start dating, but I think you should work here a few weeks first." I was so stunned I couldn't even speak. When I gained my composure, I think I said something to the effect that I don't date people that I work with. It was an extremely awkward moment. More strange things happened that I won't go into, and I only lasted there a few months. While I was working there, though, I met the woman that owned the skincare center across the hall called Personal Reflections. I now know that that's the reason I got the job at that dermatologist, was because I was supposed to meet that woman. It wasn't about the job. It was about being in the right place at the right time to meet her. She ended up becoming a big part of my aesthetic journey. Remember that I mentioned her because a little later she's going to come back into my life in a big way. So I moved on to working for a reconstructive plastic surgeon that was just starting his practice. This was another time when I went for the interview with no experience, but I got the job. Lesson: I really encourage you to not let lack of experience stop you from trying, stop you from going on interviews. You just never know what type of connection you may have when you meet that person and where that can lead you. So I became this reconstructive surgeon's front office receptionist and his back office assistant. He also had a full-time accounting employee. It was a really interesting job. I actually saw a patient come in with a finger in a baggie of ice. And I also remember watching an elderly man go through the process of having his nose reconstructed after it was removed because of skin cancer. It really was quite an interesting job. This job felt like I had finally found my long-term position. He was open to me starting to do facials on his patients, which was fabulous. I truly felt like this was my place to be. I worked very hard for him. I would make myself available after regular working hours and on weekends for any emergencies that came up for him. I even painted his office while he was away at a conference. Now, at this ripe old age, I know that I went way overboard. I was pretty happy with the pay I was receiving, but when my six-month review came, I got 25 cents an hour raise. That tiny quarter kind of felt like an insult after how hard I'd been working, but I let it go. After all, he was just getting his practice started. Now, I had free access to his personal office because I was dealing with such a big part of his business. One day I was looking for something on his desk, and I don't even recall what it was, but I happened upon an agreement for a new employee he was bringing aboard. Her salary started at $1 more an hour than mine. Can you imagine my disappointment? I had just spent 6 months working so very hard to prove myself, only to receive a quarter an hour raise, and then I see someone new coming aboard for a dollar more an hour. Now, this was the one and only time in my life I've done this. I quit on the spot. No 2-week notice, no talking it through. I was so insulted by this that I couldn't imagine working there and pretending like it didn't hurt. I told him what I had found, and I walked out the door. I had no backup job waiting in the wings, but I knew I couldn't stay there. The interesting thing is, 2 days later, I got a new job. Things always happen for a reason. Lesson: yes, you need to have good work ethics and show that you are worthy of good pay, but do not let anyone take advantage of you. So I gathered my confidence and decided it was time to work on getting a position as an esthetician. After all, that is why I went to school and got my license. I got an interview with another local dermatologist. I had a bit of experience under my belt now, so I definitely felt confident. I went into this interview proud to tell him that I was a licensed esthetician. And he looked at me with a completely blank face. He had absolutely no idea what that meant. And the next word out of his mouth were, "I'd like to hire you as my back office assistant." Well, here I go again. I'm still a back office assistant, but I did get a job, so I'm really happy. Quick side note, or fun fact, before I go on. Back in the 80s, when someone would ask me what I did for a living, and I said, "I'm an esthetician," they'd often respond, "Cool, you put people to sleep for surgery." No, that would be an anesthesiologist. The word esthetician was definitely not well known back then. Okay, so I get the job, not the position I want, but I'm thinking, I'll get in there, and I'll be the best back office assistant this doctor's ever had, and then he'll let me do facials on his patients. I've got a plan. After about a month, when he's gotten to know me and realizes I'm a hard worker, I start asking him if I can do facials on his acne patients. By now, I've gotten to know most of the moms, and I'm feeling pretty confident that they'd be comfortable with me working on their teens. So every morning, I would pop my head into his office and ask if I could do facials on his acne patients, and every morning, he would say no. I was persistent, though. Every single day I would ask, and every single day he would say no. This became our morning ritual. I finally wore him down, though, and one morning he said, all right, you can do this facial thing, but you have to do it before or after your regular working hours. I was stunned and excited that he said yes, so I went to work on talking with the moms and explaining to them how I can heal their teens' acne faster by doing a weekly facial treatment. Because I had created this relationship with these moms over the past few months, they trusted me, and they all said yes. So I began doing facials early in the mornings before work and after 5 p.m. I got busy really quick. I was working hard, but I was really, really enjoying myself. I was finally doing what I went to school to do. One afternoon, about a month later, the doc calls me into his office and says he needs to talk with me. Oh no, what have I done? I gotta say that I was a little nervous. I sit down and he says to me, "So, this facial thing you've been doing, it looks like it's working. The teens, their skin, it looks much better." Oh my goodness, did he really just say that? Inside, I am jumping up and down. I am so happy. But outside, I am cool as a cucumber and quite professional. I say to him, "Yes, they are looking much improved, aren't they?" He asks me if I'd like to do this full time. What? Did I hear that correct? Full time? No back office assistant anymore? Yes, now I am jumping up and down for real, and I give him a big hug, which I think totally threw him off guard. Before I knew it, I was booked all day, every day doing facials. The moms were so happy about their teens that they started asking me if I could help them with anti-aging. Well, yes, of course I can. This was so much fun. I worked really hard to create the secure position for myself at the dermatology office, and it was paying off. Not only was I helping to heal the acne patients, helping the moms with anti-aging, but I was also making money for the doctor. And believe you me, he liked that a lot. Then, one evening, I received a phone call. Chapter 3, Becoming a Business Owner. The call was from that woman that I met way back at that first dermatology office. Remember? She owned the small skincare center across the hall. Even in the short amount of time that I worked at that dermatology office, and even knowing that working in a medical office was the path that I wanted to take, I still befriended her. Lesson: you never know who knows who, or by knowing a certain person, what opportunity could present itself. Get to know people in this industry, and also get known in this industry. So the gal on the other end of the phone says to me, "Shelley, I just got the opportunity to be the manager of a spa at a new resort opening up in New Mexico, and I need someone to run my skincare business, and I want that someone to be you." Silence. I am speechless. Did I hear that correct? She wanted me to run her skincare business? Okay, let's take a look at this. I had only been an esthetician for about 18 months. I had only worked in a medical office, and I had no business background whatsoever. I think I misunderstood her. She repeated it. No, I had not misunderstood her. Wow, what an opportunity. Oh yeah, and the next thing she says is that she needs my answer by tomorrow morning because she has a flight out to New Mexico in the afternoon. Seriously? I need to make this life-changing decision by tomorrow morning? Needless to say, I did not sleep a wink that night. My mind raced back and forth from, "I've worked so hard to secure this fabulous position at the dermatology office," to, "I've just been given the opportunity to run a skincare business." Safety or leap? The security of the status quo or jump into the unknown? Back and forth and back and forth I went all night long. I was exhausted by morning, but I came to the conclusion that I was being handed an incredible opportunity. I was being asked to manage a skincare business, and I decided to take the leap. I called her bright and early in the morning. Well, early. I was definitely not bright at this point. I told her my answer was yes. We met at the skincare center for only 3 hours before she took off. She showed me where everything was in the treatment rooms. We took a look at her bookkeeping, her inventory system, her scheduling, and off she went. Little did I know that I would never see her again. Seriously, I've never seen her again. So there I sat with this skincare business. Oh, let me back up just a bit. I spoke with the dermatologist about continuing to do facials at his office a few afternoons a week. I had a good thing going there, and I didn't want to completely give up that yet. Thankfully, he agreed, because once I got a good look at her appointment book, I knew right away why she wanted to head out to New Mexico. The books were practically empty. This was a dying business. Right off the bat, though, I was determined that I wasn't going to let it die. I knew nothing about running a business, but I was not going to let the doors close for good on my watch. First thing I did was show up every day. I showed up at 9 a.m. whether I had a client or not. I wanted to be there just in case somebody dropped by. I wanted to be there just in case the phone rang. I wanted to be there to let the universe know that I meant business. I am going to be successful. This business will grow. I didn't know how. I just knew that it would. Showing up is a big thing. We are so accessible by phone these days that some business owners feel like it's no big deal to be off shopping or lunching because a client can still get a hold of them. They don't feel the need to show up unless they have a client. I don't agree with that way of thinking. Have you ever heard the saying, "What you think about comes about"? Well, your business will not come about if you do not think about it, and when you're shopping or lunching, you are not thinking about it. You need to put your energy into your business during business hours. Be present physically and emotionally. Okay, back to my first days at that dying spa. I would show up every morning, client or no client, and I would dust, rearrange products, vacuum. I had the cleanest little spa around. I believed that by having my energy there each day, something good was going to happen. Those first few weeks were slim as far as clients went, but I never complained. Have you heard this saying? Talk about what you want, not about what you don't want. And this is a good one too. Tell it like you want it to be, not like it is, unless, of course, you like it like it is. That's a tongue twister. So every client that came in and asked me how things were doing, I would always say, "Everything is fabulous, I'm super busy, and I love being here at the center." I would say this even if it was Thursday and she was my first client of the week. I was telling it like I wanted it to be, not like it was. Kind of like that old saying, fake it until you make it, right? Your clients do not want to hear your woes. They come into you to get away from their own woes for an hour, not to hear about your frustrations and your worries. The clients that did come in for facials began to gravitate toward my sunny disposition, and they started referring new clients to me. By month two, I was definitely busier. It was such a great feeling. I could taste success. It was at my fingertips now. By month three, I knew that I could make this happen. So I called the owner and I asked her if she thought she'd be coming back. She said no, so the negotiations began. I wanted to purchase her business. This was a back and forth process, but we finally agreed, and I became an official business owner with all the official responsibilities that come along with it. I was too excited to be scared, though. In fact, I don't recall being scared at all. Not sure if that was because of youth or naivety or what it was, but I do believe that it was my saving grace and a large part of why I turned that dying business into a very successful one. It's September 1990. I now have a loan payment, rent, utilities, phone bill, and supplies to cover each month. I seriously need to make this work. I stopped going to the dermatology office because I wanted to put my full energy into this new business. But an interesting thing happened early in 1991. I don't recall how it came about, but a plastic surgeon got a hold of my name and contacted me to do microdermabrasion treatments in her office just one afternoon a week. I decided that one afternoon away wouldn't hurt, and it excited me to be involved with plastic surgery. I figured that I could stay up on the latest technologies to share with my clients. So all through the 90s, I went to her office every Wednesday afternoon to do microdermabrasion treatments. Back then, everybody wanted microdermabrasion. It was a big deal. It was the first real piece of equipment to come along in the industry. A slow day at her office would be 8 patients, but typically I would do 12 to 16. We booked a treatment every 15 minutes. It was like an assembly line. I would cleanse, rinse, microderm, apply a 70% glycolic acid peel for 2 minutes, rinse, moisturize, sunscreen, and off they went. Next patient, please. We charged $250, of which I received $100. It was an amazing 10 plus years, but when 9/11 happened, plastic surgery suffered a bit. People were concerned and held on to their money. So the physician decided instead of paying me, she would do the treatments herself. It was a good ride, though. Now, all during those years, I'm steadily growing my own skincare business. I want to share an incident that happened within the first few months of me taking over that business. This is something that I do not want you to do, so listen carefully. I'm sitting at my desk one day when a nice-looking, well-dressed gentleman walks in the front door. He proceeds to fill me in on the latest, greatest advertising that he says all of the local businesses are jumping on. He was very high energy and he was talking fast, and I get very caught up in his hype, and before I know it, I'm signing on the dotted line for $950. This was a lot of money when I had just purchased my skincare business. Heck, that's a lot of money today. But he promised me that this advertising would take my business to the next level, and he seemed so sincere. I believed him. Here's what that advertising was. You know when you go to the grocery store and you get your receipt at the checkout counter? Did you know that there are ads on the back of that receipt? Apparently, everyone except me knew about these ads, and everyone except me were using these ads, so says the salesman. I started asking my clients if they knew about these ads. Nope, they didn't. I started asking the business owners around me if they were advertising on the back of the grocery store receipts. No, they weren't. Now, I had never looked at the back of a store receipt, so what made me think that everyone else was looking at it? This was a big waste of money. I did not get a single phone call from that $950. What happened to me back then is something that I called getting caught up. I got caught up in the salesman's energy and excitement. He was doing his job very well. Let's chat about this. Getting caught up means that you're not grounded or focused when something is going on around you. Now, you can get caught up in a dreamy way, like a new love. Maybe you're so starry-eyed that you don't see all the things that in the future are gonna bug the heck out of you. That's getting caught up. Here's another example. You're in a good mood, having a great day, and then your best friend calls, and for the next 15 minutes, she tells you about how she had yet another fight with her no-good boyfriend, and then her boss didn't give her the raise that she deserves, and how that coworker was talking about her to the other coworker when she walked into the room, and, well, you get my point. By the time you get off the phone, you're not in a good mood anymore. That's getting caught up. Caught up in someone else's bad energy. A place where we can get very caught up in this industry is at trade shows. It's so exciting there, so much to see, shiny new toys everywhere, and everyone's trying to sell you something. The first show I took my husband to was in Las Vegas in 2003, and we came home with a $15,000 hydromassage bed. They had two of these hydromassage beds side by side, and we both hopped on and sunk into the warmth and the jets flowing up and down our spines. Within a couple of minutes, we turned and we looked at each other with this look of, oh, yes, we have to have one of these. Now, we had no intention of spending that kind of money. We were definitely not grounded and definitely not focused, so we got caught up to the tune of $15,000. At my Shelley Show and Tell workshops, I even talk about this at the end of the day when everyone's getting ready to make their purchases. My attendees are usually very caught up in my excitement of telling them all about my toys, and they want to whip out that credit card and get everything. As much as that would please me, I prefer not to have any estheticians with buyer's remorse, so I always tell them to take a few days and think it through. It can mean big money mistakes in business when we get caught up, so please, don't let this happen to you. Now let's fast forward. For the next 15 years, I had so much fun growing my business. I ended up expanding and leasing another suite in the building. I had renters, and for a few years, I had employees. Lesson. Let's talk about renters versus employees. If you decide to open a skincare business and you begin to expand, take some time to understand how you feel about being a boss. I didn't like being a boss. I don't have the patience for less than the best when it comes to effort and performance. I don't do well with excuses and people being sick on a Saturday morning. I do know about Friday nights. Even though I made really good money during those years that I had employees, I was also very stressed. The extra money was not worth it. So for me, renting rooms to estheticians and massage therapists was much easier on my nerves. So think it through before you expand. Okay, back to my years running Personal Reflections. I created so many fun events for my clients, and I was always searching out the latest skincare treatments. It really was a fabulous 15 years. But I also worked very hard. The business was making well into the six-figure income bracket, which I feel is better than average for a small, individually owned business. I was very proud, but I was also very tired, and I was starting to lose my passion. Business owners wear many hats, and it can be very draining. I still loved the industry, so I didn't want to change careers, but I was losing my passion, and I had no idea what my next step would be. Maybe I needed to hand the reins over to someone else before my exhaustion became detrimental to this flourishing business. Now that's a thought. Chapter 4, Starting Over. It was a Sunday morning in October of 2005. I was cuddled up on the couch with my two King Charles Cavaliers having my morning cup of joe. I had been feeling odd for a few weeks, but I couldn't seem to put my finger on exactly what was going on. I knew that I was getting tired of running the business, so many responsibilities. I knew that I needed a break. As I sat there that Sunday morning, it hit me like lightning. It was time to sell the business. I needed to pass the baton before my exhaustion started affecting the business. It was generating very good money at that point, and I didn't want it to start waning before I handed it over to someone else. With the excitement of finally realizing what my next move was supposed to be, I ran to wake my husband up to tell him that we were going to sell the business. The look on his face was priceless. It was a combination of, Shelley, have you lost your mind? And, oh no, I think she's really serious. I was so confident that this was the right move. My husband fell back to sleep or went into shock, I'm not sure which it was, but I went back to my peaceful place on the couch with the puppies to think this whole thing through. I didn't have the first clue how to go about selling a business. Now, I had been through the purchasing process 15 years earlier, but I didn't even know where to start with the selling process. Suddenly, I had this thought about this mother-daughter team that we knew from our chiropractor's office. They both had massage and aesthetic licenses. I recalled the mother mentioning to me one day that they weren't really very happy working out of that office. Maybe this is where I start. I called her up and asked if she would meet me at Starbucks the next morning because I had an opportunity I wanted to share with her. We made a date for the next day. My heart started racing. Could there really be the possibility to sell this business just that quick? How much do I want for it? What's it worth? What would I do with myself if I sold it? My head was spinning the rest of the day. I told myself not to get ahead of myself. She may not even be interested. But then again, she may. We met at Starbucks the next morning, and I explained after how 15 years of running the business, I was beginning to lose my passion and that I needed to move on and do something else. I gave her some of the specs on the business. I filled her in on how great the lease was and how much money the business brought in the year before and how it was doing this year so far. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard her say yes. Yes, she would like to purchase the business. Oh yeah, this had to be a sign that I was doing the right thing. So we started the negotiating process just like I had done 15 years earlier. A lot of back and forth as to what the business was worth, what I would take with me, and what things I would leave. I knew that I wanted it stated in the contract that I could take a handful of clients with me. These gals were like family members to me at this point, and I couldn't imagine not seeing them every month. We finally settled all the details and had a lawyer draw up the contract, and before I knew it, I was moving out and moving on. I set up a treatment room in my home to work on these few gals while I was figuring out what my next move would be. Where did I want to take my career? Did I want to leave the beauty industry altogether or just go down another avenue? I really did love the beauty industry. I couldn't imagine what else I could do. I'll admit, I really floundered for a few years. I had the clients that I took with me from the center to keep me sort of going financially, but it really wasn't enough. And fear began to set in. This was a new sensation to me. Remember that fear never entered my mind when I purchased that skincare center back in 1990. So why was it creeping in now? What happened to that young, fearless gal that let excitement lead, not fear? Did I make the right move selling the business? Had I made a big mistake? Now, doubt was settling in as well as fear, and this was not good. I needed to do something right away before this got out of hand. Here's something that I know for sure. Fear, doubt, and unhappiness are emotions that get you nowhere fast. So let's talk about that. A few years back, I heard someone say something very simple, but very profound. And it came to me as my fear began to set in. Here it is. Life is supposed to be fun. We weren't put on this earth to struggle and be unhappy. But boy, we spend a lot of our time doing just that. And I was knee-deep in the muck of unhappy, and I needed to get out quick. So on September 1st, 2009, my husband and I decided to make a pact with each other that we were going to be happy no matter what was going on around us. Now, I just said that was simple a few seconds ago, didn't I? No, it's not simple. Trust me, it was not simple at all. We didn't just turn on a happy switch. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome if there was a happy switch to turn on. It took a lot of work. At first, we had to constantly remind each other to be happy. Now that sounds weird to even say that out loud, but try it for just one day. Try being completely happy all day long. No grumpy moments at all. It's almost impossible at first. It's like studying for a big exam. We really had to concentrate. How come it's so much easier to stay focused on something that irritates us than it is to think positive things? Have you ever noticed that? When you get pissy at someone, you can't get it off your mind, no matter how hard you try, it keeps seeping back into your thoughts. You may think about it for hours or even days. I think as humans, we're hardwired toward the negative. It's unfortunate, but I think it's true. It's so easy to let our minds go 50 miles an hour being upset at something or someone. But happy thoughts don't stay very long. Those thoughts come and go very quickly. Thinking and speaking more about what you do want than what you're unhappy about takes practice. Little by little, though, as your life starts to change, it does become easier. And it feels so good to be happy that when something or someone takes you away from that feeling, you do whatever you can to get back as quickly as possible. Now, quite some time ago, I read an article in a magazine as to why we are wired toward the negative, why we can hold a negative thought for hours on end and the happy thoughts are fleeting. Here's the explanation from Rick Hansen, PhD, as to why we are the way we are. It's actually fascinating. Here's what he has to say. Evolution, our Stone Age ancestors had to get good stuff, such as food, shelter, mating opportunities, etc., and avoid the bad stuff, such as predators, natural hazards, and aggression between groups. Good stuff differs from bad stuff in its urgency and impact. If you fail to get the good stuff today, you'll have another chance tomorrow. But if you fail to avoid the bad stuff today, you're toast. So our brains evolved a negativity bias that allows them to learn more quickly from negative experiences than from positive ones. As a result, good experiences tend to bounce off the brain while bad ones go right in. Wow, reading that quote was definitely an aha moment for me. Now I understand why it's so easy for our minds to get off the happy track. Someone cuts you off on the freeway. Off the happy track you go. Someone takes the parking spot you've been waiting for. Off the happy track. Your blind date turns out to be a big flop. Definitely off the happy track. Here's my own example. I was happy as can be when I left the house. It had been a peaceful morning getting ready for the day. Then some silly driver was not paying attention that I was trying to make a turn and made me miss my window of opportunity to get through the traffic. My mind started to reel. How dare he not let me in? Didn't he see I was trying to merge? How rude. People are just so self-centered these days. And on the dialogue went in my head. I was definitely off the happy track, and it happened so quickly. But I caught myself right away, and I actually started laughing at myself. Oh, my word, how easy that was to ruffle my feathers. So I let it go and got right back to being happy. You really can change that hardwiring, but it's going to take some practice. And as you saw in my example, you will not always stay there. But when you find yourself in the happy place more often, it's amazing how your life begins to change. Another quote from Dr. Hansen: "You can turn your brain into Velcro for the good and Teflon for the bad." I like that one. Lesson: I have a challenge for you. Pick a day, a 24-hour period, and make a decision that on that day you are going to be very aware of your thoughts and actions. Concentrate on keeping your thoughts positive. Focus on your actions showing that you are happy. Be playful. Have fun with the day, no matter what's going on around you. Each time you slide off the happy track and let negative thoughts seep in, laugh at yourself. Say to yourself, "Oop, there I go again, off the happy track," and then get right back on. Don't belittle yourself, just hop back on. Be aware of how that day begins to differ from other days. I think you'll start to notice that the people you interact with seem much happier and are willing to be very helpful. You'll notice that you'll get that parking space. You'll notice that the other drivers do let you in when you're trying to merge, and that blind date, well, he may just turn out to be the one. It didn't take very long before my husband and I started noticing things were changing. This happy stuff was really working. I don't recall the exact detail or the exact moment, but I started getting phone calls from other estheticians asking me business questions, and I really enjoyed helping them. All the things that I had learned along the way about running a skincare business were now becoming useful to help others. I may be onto something here. During those years after I sold the skincare center, I started becoming really interested in aesthetic equipment. New technologies were popping up, and they intrigued me. Gone were the days of the steamer being our only piece of equipment. I can remember back in the 90s when you were considered cutting edge if you had aromatherapy in your steamer. Now in the early 2000s, the steamer was becoming obsolete. The only real piece of equipment available in the 90s was microdermabrasion. The early 2000s brought in new players. I purchased the first LED machine in 2003. Now, I started purchasing more and more technologies, and at this point, I was paying full price for these pieces of equipment, and I would share the information about them with other estheticians. These estheticians would call the companies to purchase the equipment off of my recommendation. Fairly quickly, I realized that I should be getting a little something-something from these companies for sending clients their way. So I approached a couple of them, explaining my background and that I had been promoting their equipment. They didn't quite know what to do with me. I wasn't asking for a job. I didn't want to be an employee, but I did want to be monetarily recognized for my efforts. The first company that really embraced what I was doing was Radiancy. In 1 month, the sales from my recommendations of their facial skincare device had outsold their local sales rep by quite a bit. That sales rep had agreed to give me a small finder's fee, but the vice president of the company saw things differently. He saw money coming in from my efforts, and he wanted to keep that ball rolling. He realized that the small finder's fee was not going to keep me thrilled about selling, so he brought me aboard as a commissioned salesperson. That's when the ball really got rolling for me. I told myself that one day companies would be coming to me and asking me if I would represent their equipment. I understood that I needed to prove myself and that it may take some time, but one day things would be different. Mark my words. Now let's fast forward to 2010, and this new sales and mentoring idea had gotten so big we needed to open a center. That's when Real Transformation Treatment and Training Center was born. It was a 1,300 square foot office with two treatment rooms and one large room big enough to hold 45 estheticians for workshops. This is when Shelley's Show and Tell was created. Not only did I do my own workshops there, but other companies in the industry rented the room to give their workshops. I did a grand opening event that was like a small trade show. We had 8 aesthetic businesses promoting their products, and there were demos going on in the 2 treatment rooms. We had over 100 estheticians show up. It was a fabulous day and a great beginning for the training center. It was a fun period of time, but we only got to stay there for 3 years. They demolished the building and put up high-rise apartments. It was so disappointing. Now what would we do? Where were we going to go from here? I guess it's time for another leap. Chapter 5. Starting over again. Our main focus at Real Transformation Treatment and Training Center was training, but we had built a small clientele, so we found a small space to continue working on clients. But it was not very long after we moved into that space that my husband and I had what we playfully call a midlife crisis. We were both ready for a change of scenery in our lives. The equipment sales, training, and mentoring part of the business was doing really well, and it was something that we could do from anywhere. We had a wonderful esthetician working for us that took great care of our clients, so we didn't really need to be on site. In March of 2013, we traveled to Laguna Beach in Orange County, California for a business meeting, and we fell in love with the area. We knew right away that we wanted to live there. Once back home, we started checking out Laguna Beach and the surrounding towns via the internet, and by the end of October, we were packing up and moving to Laguna Niguel, which is right next door to Laguna Beach. We lived close enough to the ocean to see it every day. In fact, about a year into living there, we ended up opening up another treatment and training center with breathtaking views of the ocean. The view made it very hard to work at times. I found myself daydreaming out the window on a daily basis. While down in Orange County, the business continued to grow. We kept the name Real Transformation Center for our new space, and I also put a DBA on the sales and mentoring part of the business. Shelley Hancock Consulting became official. We did a lot of trade shows and workshops around the United States. We were very busy and loving most of it. It was an interesting time. The business was growing, but we were really struggling in a sense. Remember earlier how I mentioned that I didn't do so well with the employee thing? Because of the growth we were experiencing, we really needed help, but we found it hard to find the perfect connection with someone to help us. My father was an accountant, and he had his own business, and I can recall as a child watching him go through the same thing, and he always ended up going back to working by himself. I am definitely my father's daughter. Lesson. Just a reminder to know your strengths and weaknesses in business. I don't do interviews well. Everyone is on their best behavior in an interview, so I think everyone's awesome and should be hired. Also, my entrepreneurial mind thinks everyone has the same work ethics as I do, and that kind of thinking gets me into trouble. My feelings get hurt, and that's not a good thing in business. Like my father, I'm best working on my own. I'm not going to spend any time going into the particulars of the struggles. They weren't fun, but we powered through them, which is what you have to do in business. We've learned from our mistakes and we moved on. I'd much rather share the exciting things that happened during that time. One day, in early April 2015, I got a phone message that I immediately deleted because I thought it was a prank. The message said, "Hi, Shelley. This is Winston from Voice America Talk Radio. I want to speak with you about being a radio show host." I giggled to myself and I hit the delete button. Yep, I'll be darned. I just got punked. A couple of weeks later, I'm sitting at my desk when the phone rings. I pick it up and on the other end I hear, "Hi, Shelley. This is Winston from Voice America Talk Radio. I want to speak with you about being a radio show host." To which I reply, "Winston, why me? How in the world did you find me, and why do you want me to be a radio show host?" He proceeds to tell me that Voice America has a crew of people that comb the internet each day looking at YouTube videos. They're looking for people that have a good presence, that have a fun personality, and have a subject to share that people would be interested in. His crew came across my YouTube videos and brought them to his attention. He liked my videos and he called me. Lesson: you never know what may come from putting yourself out there. Being a radio show host was not something that had ever entered my mind when making those YouTube videos. So Winston spends the next 30 minutes interviewing me and also telling me all about Voice America. By the end of the conversation, I'm a radio show host. What? This is crazy. I'm going to have a weekly live one-hour radio show. I'm speechless when I hang up the phone. I think I may have been a little bit in shock. And over the next 6 weeks, Winston does some pretty intense training with me. It all feels a little overwhelming, but I'm also really excited. We decided to name the radio show Shelley Show and Tell, the same name as my workshops. Winston thinks it's catchy and playful. I started writing my first show that we call Who's Shelley Hancock? I love to write, so I had so much fun putting my thoughts down on paper. An hour is a long time, though. I would write and write and write, and then I would read it out loud, just like I was doing the show. Shoot, I'm 20 minutes short. Back to writing, read it out loud. Oh no, 5 minutes short. Back to writing. It took a few shows to get the hang of how many pages I needed to write to fill up an hour show. The 6 weeks training went by fast, and 3 days before my first show, I panicked. My mind started reeling. I can't do this. What made me think I could be a radio show host? I don't have any experience. I'm going to flop. Oh yeah, definitely, I am going to flop, and I'm sure no one is even going to listen to me. Well, maybe one person, my husband. On and on, my mind screamed. Fear had taken over big time. I called Winston, and I told him to cancel the show. I can't do this. I am not cut out for this. And in a calm and soothing voice, he talked me off the ledge. He said, Shelley, you've got this. You are going to be a great radio show host. Deep breath. Okay. My wild thoughts faded away, and the show went on. Lesson. Whenever we step out of our comfort zone to do something new, the voice of fear will do everything it possibly can to stop you. Do not listen. You may miss the opportunity of a lifetime if you let fear talk you out of leaping. So on June 15th, 2015, at 1 p.m. Pacific time, Shelley's Show and Tell radio show made its debut. I'm sitting at my desk in my house with my professional microphone and my professional headset, and I'm connected to the Voice America headquarters in Arizona. The fact that I'm sitting in my house in California and they're transmitting my show from their headquarters in Arizona, technology's amazing. My palms are sweaty. I'm looking out the window at the trees trying to calm myself, and I have a quick chat with my father, who is no longer here. I ask him if he's watching me. Does he see what his daughter's about to do? I get chills over my whole body, and I know that my father's right there in the room with me. The intro begins, the music begins to build to a crescendo, a strong male voice begins to speak, "Welcome to Shelley's Show and Tell. We are bombarded with information daily about happy life strategies, beauty products, and business success ideas. Are they going to truly make a change, or just take the change out of your pocket? Tune in weekly to Shelley's Show and Tell with host Shelley Hancock." And then he says, "And now, here's your host, Shelley Hancock," and I go live. Oh, I will never, ever forget that feeling when I heard that. Have a listen.
Welcome to Shelley's Show and Tell. Our program will explore and recommend the top beauty, health, and skincare products and treatments on the market, recommended by Real Transformation Skincare Centers. We'll also bring you tips on home tools that you can incorporate into your beauty regimens and show you how to use the law of attraction to keep you feeling and looking your best. Now, here's your host, Shelley Hancock.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. You're listening to Shelley's Show and Tell. I'm your host, Shelley Hancock, and that's Shelley with an EY. You can connect with me at
the Shelley. Hour went by in a heartbeat. I think I did well. It was actually really kind of fun. When I opened the door to go let my husband know that I'd finished my first show, he had been sitting on the floor right outside the door listening the whole time. We screamed and we high-fived like a couple of kids. He hugged me and he told me I was awesome. What a high this was. So I ended up doing my weekly radio show for a year and a half. Some of the shows I did were all by myself, and some of them I had guests. Within a few months, my number of listeners had me ranked at number 3 out of 26 hosts on the Health and Wellness Channel. And within the first year, I was number 19 out of 560 shows on all of Voice America. Looking at my stats each week, I couldn't believe all the different countries that were listening to little old me. I received emails and phone calls daily from my listeners thanking me for sharing my experiences. Some of them told me that they listened to me each morning on their way to work. Others told me that I inspired them to push through their fear and take a leap. It was exciting and humbling. Although I had a lot of fun, it was also a lot of work. It took quite a bit of time each week to put together the show. So at about a year and a half, I decided to go on a hiatus, which I've never come back from. I think that's it for being a radio show host, but had I not pushed that fear aside and taken that leap, I would have missed out on that incredible experience. Even though I knew nothing about being a radio show host and I was extremely nervous about it, I took that leap anyway, and I am so very happy that I did. So the next out-of-the-blue phone call I got was from a publishing company asking me if I would write a chapter for an anthology book called Outstanding Results, Out-of-the-Box Thinking for Business and Life. An anthology is a collection of different authors in one book. In this book, each author is a successful entrepreneur, all from different industries. I never did confirm it, but I'm guessing that they found me from the radio show. I've always wanted to write. I love to write, but the idea of a whole book seemed daunting. I never felt like I had the time to write a whole book, so this was a great way for me to get my toes wet by writing just one chapter. I said yes to their offer, and I was about to become an author of a published book on Amazon. But while I'm writing my chapter and learning about publishing, I had an aha moment. I began to feel that this experience dropping into my lap didn't have anything to do with being an author in the Outstanding Results book. I had this really strong idea about doing an anthology book where all of the authors were from the aesthetic industry. Each author would be an icon in our industry. Each author would be successful in some area of aesthetics. Oh yeah, now this is exciting. I ran the idea past the publishing company and they loved it. So I get to work contacting industry professionals that I wanted represented in my aesthetic book. I start making phone calls and sending emails. I'm like a little kid the night before Christmas. I'm so excited to spread the word and share this great opportunity. Now, I needed to come up with a name. I really loved that word outstanding in that first book, so I wanted to work around that. Outstanding aesthetics comes to mind. I like that. But there needs to be a bit more. How about The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics? That's it. The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics. Perfect. Now I need a tagline. How about Proven Techniques for Today's Industry Icons? Yep, that's it. So right there, an industry book is born. The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics is an inspirational book. Each author shares their journey to success. As estheticians, we become isolated, alone in a treatment room, so it's encouraging to read how others were inspired to leap out and become successful. Shortly after Volume 1 hit the printer and started selling, I decided that we needed to get to work on Volume 2. The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics Volume 2 is technical know-how from today's industry icons. These industry leaders are cream of the crop, and I approached them to author a chapter providing technical information in different aspects of the industry. I wanted to create a book that would help you achieve outstanding results in your aesthetic career and/or your spa business. The Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Success Volume 1 and Volume 2 are selling really well, and I'm getting heartfelt feedback from our readers. Those two books inspired me to start working on Book 3, which is the one you're listening to. This book is available only on audio because I felt that you'd get much more out of it by hearing my excitement about this fabulous industry and my journey that I've been on, and I hope that that really came across. My mind is already racing about Book 4, so stay tuned. Years ago, I took my first leap of faith. I quit a profitable job to go to aesthetic school full time. 18 months later, I took another leap and purchased my first skincare center. 15 years later, I took yet another leap of faith and sold that business before I lost my passion for the industry. I had no idea what my next move was going to be, and I floundered. But soon, I found my footing and started mentoring other estheticians. Fairly quickly, I took another leap of faith and opened an aesthetic training center. Shortly after that, I became the host of my own radio show, and then before I knew it, I was creating and authoring the Esthetician's Guide to Outstanding Aesthetics book and audio series. Wow, when I say that out loud in one big breath, it still amazes me that all of that really happened. I could never have imagined that quitting that job 30 years ago would have led me to the many adventures and successes that I've had over the years. Now, as I write this audiobook in late 2018, my day starts at 6:30 a.m. chatting with estheticians all over the United States. My focus is helping my fellow estheticians start a skincare business or take their existing business to the next level. I'm constantly seeking out new pieces of equipment and testing them for effectiveness, making sure that the outcome is worth the investment. I put together the training protocols and videos for these pieces of equipment. I spend time answering questions about all areas of our industry, and most importantly, we chat about how to keep that client coming back for more, because ultimately, that is our goal, to keep that client coming back. I can honestly tell you that I look forward to getting up each morning and spending my day helping my fellow estheticians. As you know by now, I never let fear hold me back, and I believe that it's that attribute that has helped me create a long and successful career in aesthetics. I'd like to encourage you to jump, to move quickly through any fears that show up, and take a leap of faith toward your aesthetic success. Signing off for now with much love. Be well and be happy.